Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you warmly to the broadcast today. I'm so glad you were able to join me. And this week, since we're drawing so close to Christmas, I thought it would be good to just review the simple Christmas story as recorded in the Gospels. We shared Luke and Matthew, the second chapter in each of those Gospels, the response of the shepherds, and the last couple days we've been looking at the response, or looking at the Magi, who they were, why did they come. And so with the Lord's help, we'll perhaps conclude this message today. But we understand, as I was wrapping up yesterday's broadcast, that at the time that of the culture, during that time, we're talking the first century, Jews and Romans and Eastern astrologers, they were all expecting the arrival of the Messianic kingdom just about the time that the Magi did come. And of course, they had studied the heavens. They saw his star in the east. It was very, very clear and simple, the message they gave to Herod: we've come to worship him. Where is the king of the Jews? It couldn't be any more simple. And perhaps they had been studying Daniel's prophecy. And they were so very certain of their evaluations and their research, they were willing to make a long journey to Jerusalem. And so that meant they absolutely recognized the willingness to make the trip, and their very words to Herod, as are recorded, that they recognized this newborn as a person of very important significance, king of the Jews, very possibly the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy. Herod called the Magi secretly, and he found out from them the exact time the star appeared. And of course, he also called his priests and those who would consult with him, and the teachers of the law, and ask, what did the scriptures have to say about this? They told him. And so obviously Herod's response was very convinced that what the Magi said was true. But having shared his personality, as I did, if you know much about this historical person, he was very ruthless. He was a paranoid tyrant. He killed members of his own family, even a favorite wife. He murdered 5 princes and princesses. And even though he wasn't a Jew, he wanted to ingratiate himself through marriage, through rebuilding the temple, which he did. And there was an atmosphere of fear throughout the entire nation. Citizens couldn't meet, walk together. Any disobedience brought severe punishment. And so when he said, you know, go find him, and so I can worship him too, he was, of course, absolutely lying. He responded very immediately, with great vitriol and anger and fear, because he was convinced what they said was true. He sought to deceive them into telling him when they found the child, of course, he wanted to worship him, which was about the last thing that was true. And his intent was not, of course, to worship, but to destroy the perceived threat to his kingdom. He was crazed with power. And so when they did, leaving Herod now, as the Magi followed the star, the scriptures tell us the star stood over where the child was. When they came into the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They were a group of scientists and scholars, and they were highly respected. They would not bow down to anyone unless they were expressing that they were subservient to that person who they were kneeling to. And they said, "Where is the King of the Jews? We've come to worship him." They understand. And in fact, you know, current astrology has gone to, you know, giving directions to people for their future. And of course, God said very clearly in the Old Testament, he absolutely refused us to go into the occult in any manner. However, the actual stars themselves, and there's beautiful books written by that, Christian researchers scientists, Christian scientists, if you will, who have studied the stars, the gospel is actually preached in the stars. I won't take time to go off into that, but not that I even fully understand it, except I know it to be true. And obviously we know it's true because of the response of the Magi. And so when they came to the house, they worshiped him and they opened their treasures, presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here we see there was Joseph, Mary, the baby. The shepherds had come, of course, earlier to visit. And after so long, the Magi, after that long trip, they were finally in the place they desired to be. Their determination had paid off. They found him. They could go back and say, "We found him who was born King of the Jews." And once in the presence of Jesus, they immediately bowed down and worshiped. And of course, Mary and Joseph were simple people. Joseph was a carpenter, and Mary was just, she was just a young virgin, who very young in years and of humble estate. In fact, she was just overwhelmed at the greeting of Gabriel when he said, "Most you were favored of the Most High." That from her very womb, the presence of the Holy Ghost would overshadow her as a virgin, and he who was called the Son of the Most High would be born of her. He would save people from their sins. So they must have been amazed when this rich and prestigious entourage from the East showed up on their doorstep and worshipped their baby. The Magi believed this child was divinely sent, even divine. They received the sign from heaven in the stars. And they heard, of course, the word from Scripture. They'd studied the Scriptures, the prophecies. And they were led to the exact location by a star. And their gifts testified to this belief that this child was at least a divinely sent king. So when we look at their gifts, and I once preached a whole message on the significance of the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we can still offer those gifts today, maybe not literal gold, but that's another message. However, gold in that time was the usual gift brought to a king. And of course, frankincense was a beautiful scent or perfume or resin that was used mostly by the priest, and it was part of the sacrificial service. It was part of the incense that was offered before the presence of the Lord in the holy place. And myrrh, of course, is mentioned in the 19th chapter of John as being part of the embalming substance brought to the grave by Nicodemus. And it had a variety of purposes, but these particular gifts, without going into much further detail, we see that their gifts prophetically described and recognized three things they saw about this baby that they saw in the arms of Mary, his mother. Imagine now, they brought these gifts. They traveled from their home in the East, and so they had used thought in preparing a gift, which is a normal thing you do when you go to see a monarch. They had deliberated, obviously, and chose carefully, and of course God's hand was on them to express this. But that gold represented divine royalty. That little baby in Mary's arms was not only King of the Jews, but he was indeed the King of Kings. Their gifts also represented divine representation. It referred to Jesus' role as divine intercessor. He would become the high priest of his people. Incense, of course, frankincense was used in the temple. Of course, I can't remember where it is in Psalms, but let our prayers rise before you as incense, and the lifting up of our hands as the evening sacrifice. So Jesus presently, at this moment, is interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. And of course, myrrh represents divine redemption. He died to redeem us from the power of sin. It was used, as I said, myrrh was used for embalming. And so These beautiful gifts represented the fact of Jesus' divinity, his purpose, his reason for coming, being born in such humble surroundings. And now going back to the setting, after they left, after the Magi left, and some say it was probably about 2 years in time, that it was dangerous, because that's when Herod went about to kill all the infants, it was dangerous for Joseph and Mary to remain in the realm of Herod. Of course, Joseph was warned in a dream, and so they fled to Egypt. They were, of course, extremely poor. But now, because of these gifts, they had the means to remove their family and this precious child out of the reach of Herod. And so God used the Magi for two reasons: to testify to the importance of this child who was born, and to provide the resources to keep him safe in Egypt until Herod's death. And as we know, when Herod did finally die, Joseph had another message from the heaven. The angel told him it is now safe to return to their place, they went back to Nazareth. And so what can I share with you in terms of closing thoughts? Well, obviously for the Magi, their journey had been a long and an arduous one, just to spend a few moments to worship the Christ child. And we've been talking all week about a simple Christmas, a simple message, simple people. The angels delivered in a most spectacular way the simple message of God's salvation. The shepherds were simple men who heard the message, they believed it, they responded, and told others. And the Magi had a single determination to not only testify to the truth, but to deliver gifts fit for a king. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, in these closing moments, I just pray for every listener. And Lord, as we draw close to the actual day of Christmas on the 25th, we ask that you would, your presence be with us. You'd fill us with your peace and strength. Father, we pray for peace in homes, reconciliations, and family relationships. And Lord, most of all, that we would glorify you, Jesus, Lord, who is the reason for the season. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, I thank you so much for joining me this week. I pray that you and your family, whatever your plans are, would have a blessed Christmas. And even if you're alone, and I understand there were times in my life I was alone at Christmas, but if you have accepted Jesus, you have the King of Kings dwelling in your heart. I love you. I thank God for you. Thank you for joining me. And until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.